You guys, it's really easy to see the necessity like that. It's really easy to look at another nation. And as Americans, you know, and that's so foreign to us, the idea of bowing down to God and these types of things, and see the necessity for the gospel. And personally, my dad made that video when I was a little kid. And I've gotten to minister to those people, and I love those people, and it breaks my heart. And I don't know if you feel the same, but there's this, like, when you hear just that who will go from the Lord, because that's the Lord speaking that out. And he says it quite a few times in Scripture, and he's just, you know, who will go? Who will go? And there's something inside of you that kind of like leaps. Because the Lord has called you to go. And that doesn't mean it's there. It could mean here. But it can be so much harder. They're going to play the whole entire time because we're going to be doing a lot of activities. But you guys, here in the States, it can be so much harder to see the necessity in our everyday lives. And when we're at school or whatever it is, it can be harder. It's not just like in plain sight. You're not just walking down the street and it's like right there. A lot of it can be very hidden. Because a lot of the sin and the need here is we have a lot of passivity and we have a lot of pride in America. And there's a lot of other sins that we're dealing with in America. And the Lord's heart is so broken for America. And you guys, I believe, you guys are millennials with me, I believe. I think it's from 1980s to the early 2000s. You guys were all born in the early 2000s, yes? No? Early 2000s? Yeah, okay, all right, okay, maybe earlier than that. I don't, okay. and so you guys are millennials, and it's actually spoken right now that 10 years ago, 78% of America was Christian. And now we've dropped down to 70%. The news has called our generation the religiously silent and religiously detached generation. And that hurts. And that's not a good thing, you know, to have over our generation. And the Lord is calling us to take that back. Because you guys, I want you to realize, like, when you think about your life and you think about just, like, the struggles that you have gone through since you have known Christ and how much better that has been, how much, like I, when I was 17, I was raped. And if I didn't have the Lord, who knows where I would be now? Because it messed me up. But the Lord came and he loved me. And there's this gigantic part of our population, even in the States, and that's 70% would say they're churched. That doesn't mean that 70% actually are walking out in the will of the Lord. But there's, I can't imagine, again, yeah, going through even that. And that was one piece of my life without the Lord. But yet there's people going through every day of their lives without him, without that one to turn to, without that like just loving comforter that they know they can always go to. And we approach often in the church, I did it yesterday. I was driving and I saw this guy and he cursed out this poor lady and like right away my thought was like, what a jerk, like what a like turd. And I was so upset and just like judgmental, like he should know better, you know, he should be doing better than this, like how dare he do that. And yes, like, you know, like there's some level of morality in our society, but sinners sin. They do. They've never experienced better. Like when it comes to, you know, you take alcohol and it's like you have so many people that struggle with alcoholism and drunkenness and they you know, they get drunk and that's the best delight that they have been able to find. And so they keep doing it because they've never known a greater delight. Do you get that? But yet all of you who believe in the Lord, you know that greater delight. And you know that these temporary satisfactions of the world, yeah, they are temporary. And the Lord has so much more for us. And so we're going to, yeah, just simply just get practical today. And so what I want you to do is I want you to get in pairs, groups of two. If you are new, I want you to sit in. I would encourage you to sit in. But you do not have to participate. Okay? Cool? Raise your hand when you're in a pair. And I need you to all stand up and move to different parts of the room in pairs. And leaders, if you want to go and kind of just mingle around in the pairs, that'd be great. So get in a group of two and go somewhere in the room. But guys, there is much necessity for sharing the gospel and sharing the love of Christ in our nation. Okay, so is everybody in a pair? If you're not in a pair, you can be in a three. You can go in a three. That's fine too. Okay, once you are in a pair, pick one person to raise their hand first, and they will be going first. So one person, put your hand up and raise it high. Sweet. Sweet. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. All right, does everybody have one person chosen in their group? Sweet. Hey, if you're sitting down, I encourage you to stand up. Okay. I'm not going to start with a gospel presentation or an example. Because you guys, in your pairs, most of you are believers, correct? I would think, I'm pretty sure everybody is a believer. I don't know you if you're new, but it's nice to meet you. I'm Micah. But you're believers. So you came to know the Lord somehow, right? So you know the gospel, and the enemy is going to try to tell you that you don't know the gospel, but you do, or else you wouldn't be a believer. So you do know it. So I'm not going to give you an example because you know it already. And so you're about to manifest and freak out because you're going to have to preach the gospel to the other person in 2 minutes. Okay? So when I say go, you will have 2 minutes to preach the gospel to the other person. So whoever raised their hand is going first. Okay? And I'm sure that many of you are kind of freaking out in your seats right now. And you're like, I don't really want to do that. I really don't want to do that. But I'm going to tell you right now. More than likely, that's rooted in the fear of man. Because you're afraid you're going to get it wrong. You're afraid you're going to mess it up. You're afraid that as you say it, maybe the person's going to be like, oh my gosh, like they totally butchered that or whatever. But they're not. Oh my gosh. The other person is probably freaking out just as much as you are because they have to go after you. So don't worry about it. And the fact of the matter is, it is actually harder to preach the gospel in this situation to someone that you know knows the Lord and in this context then it is a total stranger or someone that you know that doesn't know it. So if we get practice here, the enemy will have no room to come in when it comes to a stranger. Cool? We ready? All right, hold on. Let me get a timer. So does everybody know who's going first? Yeah? I'm stoked, guys. Come on. All right, here we go. I don't know how to work my timer, so hold on. Oh, thanks. Okay, all right, 2 minutes. Ready, set, go. Thank you. one more minute. Seconds. Three, two, one, stop. Awesome. Was that hard? Come on. So some of you are like, no, that was really hard. That was really difficult. I fully understand. The first time I had to do this, I was like, no way. No. Why would I do that? They already know the gospel. And I had, literally, the enemy is just like, they already know the gospel. This is dumb. This is ridiculous. And I'm just like freaking out, as I'm sure most of you wouldn't admit it, but slightly inside, you are as well. So, okay, is the other person ready? Yeah? Okay, so the other person, I'm going to give you a scenario. Your class finished 2 minutes before the bell, okay? Actually, no, let's do a minute and a half before the bell, so you only have a minute and a half, okay? And there's a kid sitting in the corner, and the Lord was like, go wreck them with the gospel right now. Just go get them, all right? So, are you ready? We understand the scenario? Minute and a half. Here we go. One, two, three, go. Seconds. Five, four, three, two, one, stop. Awesome, guys. Awesome, awesome. Stay in your groups. I'm going to get to the point of why we're doing this in just a minute. But the next thing I want you to do is the person that went first, I'm going to give you 1 minute, and you are going to share your testimony in 1 minute to one of the people. I know it's hard. It's really hard. You got to condense it. Super condense it. The person's getting off the train and you got to get it all out. You know what I'm saying? You got to get the gospel out there. All right, so we understand? So the person that went first, you're doing your testimony. Ready? Set? Go. Thank you. Five, four, three, two, one. Done. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So this is what we're going to do. The other person, do you want, if you want to share your testimony, raise your hand. If you don't, then you don't have to. And we'll move on. I'm just kidding. You're going to do it anyways. All right. We ready? We all need practice, guys. We all need practice. All right. Ready? Set? Go. Seconds. Five, four, three, two, one. All right. Come on. Great job, guys. Great job. I know that was intense. That was really intense. Don't worry. You're done. You're done for now. If you guys want, you can either go back to your seats or you can stay where you are. It doesn't matter to me. But you will get back in groups of two or pairs in like 15 minutes or 10 minutes. So do whatever you want. Just sit down. Yeah, just sit with your pairs. I think that's what you just said. Yeah. Okay. So guys, the reason I just had you do that, it's because, one, it really makes the enemy mad. When you step out and you're like, no, I have to do this, I'm going to do it. Because the enemy does not want you to spread who the Lord is. Because the less you spread God's word, the more reign the enemy has on the earth. And the more rule he has in people's lives. But when you declare the truth, the enemy has no room. So hopefully, normally what happens is, and I could be wrong, but as you were declaring the gospel, I'm sure like things were coming to mind and you're like, oh wow, I haven't thought about that in a while. Or like, oh, and that's the Lord. Because he brings things, like he reminds us of who he is. He reveals things in our times of need. And I'm going to tell you right now, if some of you are like, I didn't feel that at all. In the moment, when it really, like, when the Lord is really wanting to grab someone, I promise you he will. I promise you. He will bring something to mind. And if he doesn't, then maybe you're not supposed to share the full gospel with them right then. They need to hear the full gospel, but maybe not right then. You guys, the reason I had you do it is because we always need to be ready to share the gospel, to share the good news, because it's good news. It truly is. And we also need to be ready to share our testimony. Because you never know when the Lord might be like, hey, they're ready. Hey, this person, they're ready for the gospel. Tell it to them. And it's interesting, a lot of theologians, and I find this true for myself, and I'm sure you could ask your leaders, that the longer I am a Christian, the more simple the Lord makes the gospel to me. It's like, I don't like graduate to like this new level of like intensity of the gospel. The Lord just like makes it simpler and he's like, guess what? And sometimes it's like the gospel is literally just like the Lord just saying, hey, son, I love you and I have redeemed you. And he just puts it just so simple. And it's, I think it's Spurgeon. Nah, I could be wrong. But some theologian talks about just preaching the gospel to yourself daily. Because it does something. It completely disassembles the power of the enemy in your life and his hold over your life. But as well as it gets it at the forefront of our minds so that we're always ready. Because the fact of the matter is the Lord is coming. He really is. And I know we hear about all the crazy people that are like, you know, like, and but who knows? You know, it's like they might not be crazy at all. Like the Mayan calendar is ending, and you know, who knows what's going to happen? And maybe the Lord, you know, I don't know. But we have to be ready because our groom is coming to take us away. And personally, I want as many people coming with as possible. And I hope you do too. Because if you think about your friends or maybe your family members that don't know the Lord, they're having to face these situations without him. They've never known true delight. They've never known true joy. And personally, that just rips me up. I can't, that's awful. That sounds terrible. Because the Lord is the best thing in the whole wide world. He's everything to me. And so you guys, when preaching the gospel, it needs to not come from this like place of obligation. But it truly starts, and I'm going to tell you right now, it starts in our own love for who the Lord is. If you don't love Butterfingers, but you're trying to convince me to eat a Butterfinger, you're probably not going to convince me very well. But if you are madly in love with Butterfingers like I am, it's going to be super easy to convince me because you're just like, oh my gosh, and you get excited. And I can see how Butterfingers have morphed your whole entire concept of what a candy bar should be like. Just as if I love the Lord, people are going to be able to see how he has truly transformed my life. Make sense? Okay. Now, for some of you, you're probably sitting there, and you're like, I mean, I haven't been a Christian very long, or I don't know much about the gospel, or, you know, or whatever. The Lord loves using his people. Because the fact of the matter is, I think we often look at, you know, like we talk about the lost, you know what I mean? Like it's always like the lost. And we kind of are like, they're lost, you know, like they're over there. I'm over here. They're over there. And the Lord, he's not sitting there like, oh yeah, that like rebellious little turd over there. Yeah, he's still over there. No, that's not the Lord. The Lord's like, my son, my daughter over there that doesn't know me yet, how my heart is broken for her, and I'm waiting and I've been asking my people, I've been asking your generation, who will go? Who will stand up and go and declare it to them? Who will share the love of who I am to them? Those are his kids. And it breaks his heart. And he loves them. And he just wants to simply just pour out his love on them. And he's waiting for you and me to stand up and be willing to maybe be embarrassed for a couple of seconds, to maybe feel awkward for a minute. And there's something often that comes up within us that's like, no way, I don't know if I can do that. Well, what if I get rejected? So what if you get rejected? I'm going to tell you right now, it's worth it. I'm gonna be blatantly, just really blunt with you, and this might sound mean, and I don't mean it to be mean, but I know in my own life what the Lord has kind of responded. The Lord is very upfront with me when he talks to me often. And whenever I'm like, no, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be in that awkward situation. He often looks back at me and he's like, was I not put to shame for you? Was I not drugged through the dirt for you? Are you saying that my death is not worthy of you feeling awkward for 5 seconds? And that really hurts. I mean, that's a slap in the face of goodness from the Lord. And it's pretty convicting. But the fact of the matter is, he really is worthy. And it's like, you guys have this delight in your life. And I pray that in the nights, even if right now you're sitting here and you're like, I don't actually have that much of a love for the lost. You guys, when I was your age, I didn't care about the lost. I'm going to be honest. I was like, no, I want to go to school. I want to get my day over with. I just want to do my thing. And you guys, it took me it wasn't like this aha moment of like, I love people that are, you know, like in sin. It wasn't that for me. It was me day and night going, hey, Lord, would you increase the love for your people? Would you increase the way I see people? Would I see them how you see them? Because the fact of the matter is often when we're preaching the gospel and when churches often talk about it, you know, we have like this 7-point system or whatever it is, like boom, 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 boom. You got to make sure you hit all the points. And it can often so much be judgment and so much like all of this. But I think that, and I'm not about to speak like do a prosperity gospel or by any means, but simply saying we need to start at creation. And what I mean by creation is when you're sharing the gospel, start it. What did the Lord make you to be? What was his original intent for that person? It was relationship. It was because he loved them. He made them, and he's like, oh, I just want to hang out with that guy right there. And then it all went wrong. And then you talk about the redemption. But start in the place of because if we start in the place of like fire and brimstone and like you're going to hell and all of that, you can instantly lose people. But if you start where the Lord started with us and with everybody, which was at creation, and his heart just longing to hang out with us and love on us and make us in his image, it really changes the perspective. And so in that, what I would highly encourage when it comes to evangelism, that you don't feel the need to every single time get the whole gospel and shove it down their throats and make sure you have John 3:16 memorized and you can get every word and they can memorize it and they can speak it back to you right away and you're just going to like just attack them with the gospel. That's not how the gospel is. But in that, when the Lord calls you to share the gospel, do it. Do it. It is all just be simply obedient. But what I'm saying is start with listening. I think the key to evangelism, one of the main things is simply listening. Listen to the person, where they're at, what's going on in their life, and listen to Holy Spirit. Because especially in America, I'm gonna bet most of them probably know the gospel. They've probably heard it quite a few times. And the reason that they haven't accepted Christ could be a father wound. A wound from their past. It could be a wound from the church. And it's not the actual gospel that is holding them back. It's this other thing. It's this like, my father was mean to me, and you say that he is our heavenly father. No, I don't even want to touch that because fathers are the worst. That could be where they're standing. And if you go in and you're like, Jesus died for you and blah, 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 blah. They're like, yeah, I get it. I know. Whereas the Lord might be sitting there trying to tell you, hey, tell them about my father heart for them. Tell them about my love for them. Tell them about what I think about them. Oftentimes, I think it's just the simple fact of the matter is there's the, and different approaches work in different places around the world. Ireland, standing on a street corner and just going for it really works. It doesn't work as well here. I could be wrong. If the Lord tells you to do it, do it. If the Lord tells you to do it, just do it. That's just, if you take anything out of this, just take that. But you guys, the fact of the matter is, we got to really speed up here. But the Lord has called us. We don't have to be evangelists. We don't have to have the gift of evangelism to go preach the gospel. He's called all of us to go and proclaim who he is. There's a guy, have you guys ever heard of the New York Revival in the 1850s? So it's one dude. Just one dude, and it, like the church is like, hey man, like how you doing? He's like, I really feel like I'm called to the the mecca, you know, right in the center of all the businesses and all of this that's going on. And so he goes over there and he's like, okay, Lord, you've asked me to be a missionary here. What do you want me to do? And the Lord didn't say, I want you to go into every business and just throw down. He said, I want you to just kind of make a quick little announcement. Hey guys, I'm going to go pray on my lunch break. And he goes over to this little church in the middle of his lunch break and prays for the hour. Within a couple of weeks of him announcing this the first time, like 2 or 3 people show up. Next thing you know, businesses are shutting down as all of the businessmen are running from their businesses to every church. It's recorded in the news. I think it was, I don't remember what news article I was even reading on, but it talks about like, they thought at first, they were like, oh, it's like 5,000 businessmen and businesswomen just fleeing from their jobs to go and pray and spend time with the Lord. And then they're like, well, let's look into it more. Next thing you know, 10,000, 20,000, 40,000. 40,000, that's in New York, guys. And that might seem like it was a long time ago. That's 150 years ago. Hopefully you'll live, you know, maybe you'll live to be 100. What if you went about your life in that reality of the Lord could use me and he wants to use me? It might not be something crazy. It might just be, hey guys, I'm gonna go and pray for a little while. But the Lord started a revival of people coming to know him and people hungry for him. And that's the potential he sees in you. And so what we're gonna do is I just want us to practice listening, because you guys, the thing is so the Irish, they have this saying at monasteries that everybody that comes through the door, they view as the glory of Christ coming into their church. Everyone they see, they view as the glory of Christ walking before them. Because we are made in the image of the Lord, lost or not. They're still made in the image of the Lord, and we need to treat them accordingly. And so when we see them, instead of that gut reaction of they don't know the Lord and blah, 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 it should be, Lord, what do you think about that person? And how can I go and share that love with them? If you look at the life of Christ, he went to where they were. He got down in the junk and he went to where people were and simply practically loved them. That might mean, in a super simple way, that might be like just simply being a regular somewhere. Once every 2 weeks, you go to the same coffee shop to go in, because you know that the same barista is there every time. And you're, hey, how you doing? Oh my gosh. And as you're sitting in line, you're like, Lord, what do you want to say to her today? What do you want to say to him today? And it might be something simple as like, hey, I just think the Lord wants to tell you, you're a really good dad. You're a really good father. And then that might open up a door the next time, even farther. And then the Lord might open up a door for you to just blast them with the gospel and be like, this is what Jesus has done for you, and he loves you, and he cares for you. And then boom, what happens? A revival in the coffee shop that you've been going to? Come on, come on. And everybody gets saved. I claim that in Jesus' name, because that's who God is. That's what he does. He loves to work through his kids, and he loves to do really crazy, fun things. But it says we are not to be just hearers of the word, but also doers. So when you go somewhere, or you see someone on the street, or wherever you are, every opportunity is an opportunity to share the love of Christ. It is a lifestyle. It is an act of worship. I'd say it's a pretty important act of worship. Because we can come in here in our safe zone and be like, glory, you know, glory to God. And it's really easy and really comfortable. But when we have to step outside of our comfort box and go, Lord, I want to make sure you get the glory in this conversation. And I want to make sure that this person knows that you love them. The Lord's like, come on. That is someone that thinks that I am worthy. What an act of worship. And he's just like, whoa. And that's not saying he's not, because he is stoked about what happens here. But he's also stoked about what happens when you're alone and you're the only Christian in the room. Because he sees you and you're not alone. Because he's always with you. Right after he says, go therefore and make disciples, he says, I am with you. Even to the end of the age. He will reveal himself to you. He will reveal what you should say. And it doesn't have to be this step-by-step process. Because you're introducing people to a man, not a formula. If before I knew the Lord, if I was introduced to a step-by-step process and that was the only way, I probably wouldn't know the Lord. Some people that would work. Every person is different. And they're going to receive it differently. Every person has gone through different hurts and different wounds and all these things. And the Lord sees that. And he's just waiting for you to tune in to hear his voice so that he can utter his heart for that person over that person through you. And what an honor it is that we get to do that. That we get to tune in to the heart and to the kingdom. That we get to go into the holy place where God is seated on his throne and deliver his messages. That's a sick task that we get to perform. So what we're going to do is we're going to practice. So I want you to get back in your groups and I want you to ask the Lord, what do you think of the person in front of me? And I want you to speak it over them. But you might get it wrong, and that's okay. The Lord is stoked that you would try. So as the person that you are, like, someone is telling me you're a worshiper or whatever it is, ask the Lord, hey, do I receive that? Hey, do you want, is that something that you are saying over my life? And it's not a bad thing if you get it wrong. It is okay. We all get it wrong. You will get it wrong at some point, and that's okay. The Lord is stoked that you would try. But I want us to simply practice seeing each other how the Lord sees the other person. And then take that and share the love of God, how he sees those people, and not how my flesh and my selfishness and my pride might see those people. So break into your groups. And simply go ahead and just ask the Lord what he thinks or what he wants to say to that person. And then go for it whenever you hear something. Cool beans? Cool beans.